How you doing? You good? Tell you a little secret about drinking the Holy Spirit. Actually, we maybe shouldn't go down this road. I don't know. This is a temptation, you know, the wine. Oh. But you know, in the first chapter of Esther, there's this incredible party and the king gives drink liberally. And it says that the drinking is not forced. There's this party where there's the drinking's not forced. But I've learned something about the Lord. I've learned that even if your doctrine is really bad, he's like a waiter with wine. And he can't help pouring out his presence and his wine on people that love and honor his presence and his wine. He can't help himself. Like when people get together and they want to drink with sincere hearts, he will give them drink, but according to their measure. Because he can't help topping up your glass. And the thing is with the Lord, is you have to be careful how much you drink. Because sometimes, I'm not trying to be crude, but you can't blame the barman if you've had too much. So I've learned over the years that sometimes I've got to synchronize with heaven and know what he's doing at that moment. Because how many of you know, I've got to know when I've got to be competent to speak to government, but then I've got to know when I've got to be locked in the wine cellar for a couple of weeks. I've got to know the unforced rhythm of grace and know where the grace is for that season. Because I've had times and seasons where I wanted to pray and I was going to spend time with the Lord, but I couldn't pray because there was so much bliss and enjoyment. And I was frustrated by that because I was used to praying and God started visiting us and we used to pray quite violently for God to move and then he did respond. We started having these intense visitations and then this glory would rest on us and I would be like, I feel like we should be doing something. But you didn't feel like moving. Moving was a lot of effort and speaking seemed like a lot of effort. And then when I would get up off the sofa and try and pray like I did previously, it wouldn't work. It would feel like, oh, these words aren't going anywhere. Because there are moments where you've got to enjoy the bliss and that fulfills the purpose of that moment, that you drink deeply from the river of his pleasures. You've got to know when it's time to drink deeply and you've got to know when it's time to have contractions and give birth. The paradox and the mystery with God is that we can all be at different places all at the same time, but all be unified together in his purpose and in his plan. Whoa. So the longest time where I couldn't pray because of the presence of the Lord was 6 weeks straight. 6 weeks, all I did was sit down by the radiator, staying warm. And at the height of that season of 6 weeks, I couldn't even make out letters in books, even if I'd wanted to. It started off with me reading a page and realizing I hadn't understood anything. So I would read the page again, hoping that that would bring clarification to what I just read. Then I'd read it again and realize I knew nothing. I could comprehend nothing. And then I'd look and the words themselves were blurry and I couldn't comprehend what I was reading. And I realized that when God comes like that, you've got to enjoy him and not have an agenda. Because he looks for a resting place. And there's moments where he wants to rest on your rest. His resting place will be glorious. And he wants to glorify the house of his glory, which is your tabernacle, which is you. He wants to come and rest on you and overshadow you. And you honor the Lord. You bring delight to the Lord by permitting him to come as he pleases and responding to how he's come. He's a person. He is glorified in your satisfaction. Worship is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to enjoy him. Because you can't actually fill God up with worship because God's full and overflowing. Worship is the mere approval and enjoyment and connection of that which is created with the Creator. where the creation drinks from the river of his fullness and is satisfied abundantly by the fatness of his house. We glorify a well by drinking from it. We glorify a loaf from eating of it. We glorify the Lord by allowing the glory that is in him to become the glory in us. The bliss that is in him to become the bliss that is in us. The satisfaction that is in him to be the satisfaction in us. The pleasure that is in him to become our pleasure. That his glory would be in us and through us and around us. That we would be the habitation of his glory. Wow. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. We drink from the river of his pleasures and in doing so give him pleasure. And thus we complete the circle of bliss, the circle of pleasure, which is the divine essence, the divine nature of God that we've been pulled into. God was so overflowing in his bliss that he decided to create creation to encompass humanity in his divinity. Whoa. So Jesus put it like this: I came that my joy would be in you and your joy would be complete and overflowing. I came with a joy package for you. I came with the bliss that I have in the Father, for the Father is pleased in the Son, and the Son is pleased in the Father, and the Spirit is pleased in the Father, and the Spirit is pleased in the Son, and the Son is pleased in the Spirit, and the Father is pleased in the Spirit. And out of this overflow is laughter and joy and bliss, and out of the river of his pleasures it exploded into creation. And that is the government of God. That is the government of heaven being manifest upon the earth. Whoa. So, it's good. So there's been many times where I've fallen into bliss. It says in scripture, they fell into a trance. They slipped down the slidey slope of divine bliss. They slipped into the reality of heaven. Whoa. Whew. Whoa. Our appetites have been too tame. Our appetites have been restricted. We've been restricted in our affections. We've been restricted. Whoa. Woo. So I've learned a secret. I've learned that when his presence comes, sometimes you won't have revelation. Sometimes you will not have vision. Sometimes you will not have encounters, but you're having something far more than that. You are his resting place. And I've learned over the years that he is the reward. He is the reward. He is the reward. He himself is my portion. You are my inheritance. You are my reward. Yeah. So sometimes he'll make us look foolish, but we are dignified by the indignity. For he has chosen the foolish things to shame the wise, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And he is glorified by that. That is his wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Way. Yes, yes, so let it be. Amen. So I've had times where his resting place has come, but then I've had times of pain and longing and burning and burning and bitter tears as I have cried with longing because I've tasted of something and I am longing to be clothed fully with the habitation that is above, being clothed fully with the fullness of being a son to manifest the fullness of all that he is and all that he does. And we are people that live in paradoxes and tensions between the two. We live in the ecstasy of being united together with him, but with the longing and the craving and the desire where my soul follows hard after you. One thing have I asked of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Where we have the tension of being found but longing, being satisfied yet yearning. Whoa. Shaka barabaranda. And that is the ways of heaven. That is the mystic ways. It's the ways of being full. We're like in Hebrews where it says that Jesus had more joy, more gladness than all of his brothers, it says in Hebrews. And yet he knew what it was to be acquainted with sorrows. He knew what it was like to cry out in Gethsemane, to need that angel to draw alongside him, even though he was in the Father and the Father was in him. And they were in perfect unity and they were messengers of joy and bliss. They knew what it was like to agonize with a broken world. They knew what it was like to groan for something, for a new creation, a kainos, new creation, to be formed out of death, that death would produce life. Whoa, that in the death of the seed, something abundant would be produced. Way. Yay. Ho. So can market eh, and that's so okay. Ha. Koye. Wow. Way. Whoa. Whoa. He's God. He's God. He's God. He's God. Whoa. So I've had times where I can't move, or he's come on me in Tesco's or Asda's, and suddenly I'm overwhelmed by his reality, and I'm so glad when that happens. One of the consequences has often been my intellect, where I can't think straight. But I would rather his presence than my intellect. I would rather be clothed in his presence, clothed in a cloud, than to preserve my dignity. Because I've tasted something. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh, I have tasted the richness of his pleasure. And once you've tasted that, you cannot be satisfied with substitutes. Substitutes, cheap wine. Cheap wine. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light I see light. Drink from the wells of salvation with joy. There's a drink, there's a feast, there's a mystic feast that we've been called to. Yeah. Whoa, this is the mystic way. This is the way of the ancients. This is the way. This is the ancient paths. The scriptures say, return to the ancient paths. Return to the ancient ways. So I don't know what season you're in. We're probably all in different places here tonight. We're all one loaf, one building, one house, one Lord, one body, united together, honoring one another, making each other powerful enough to be different. Because our union isn't based on agreement, it's based in Christ. In Christ, the building's held together. So the season that I'm in and where I'm speaking from and where I'm at right now is in a time of contractions. I am in a time of groaning. And I give you permission to enjoy him. I give you permission to be intoxicated on the fatness of his house. To be a rest in place. You're not a word machine. You know, they turn prophets into word machines. They turn worshippers into song machines. We're none of these. We're the house of God, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I don't have to preach ever again. Whoa. Yay. We got to know to be silent when he's silent. When people want a word, we got to know when there's no word. Because heaven rules. Heaven rules. We're on another agenda right now. We're not on our agenda. We're on the agenda of heaven. He can come how he pleases. All that he pleases, he does. Who are we to say to the Lord? Who are we to say to the wind and the fire how to behave? He's looking for a company that are reckless in their abandonment to love, who are yielded to the government of heaven. They're not lawless. They're not immature sons doing what they want. They want to do the Father's business, the Father's pleasure. They yield the freedom. The freedom that you've been given was the most expensive thing that's ever been purchased in the entire history of mankind. Now, if you live in complete freedom, doing whatever you want for the rest of your life, that's fine, because the law's been cancelled on the cross, nailed on the cross. But there's a company that will take their freedom and realize, I have got the power in freedom. And I want to trade that for the Father's face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek. I trade freedom. I trade my words. I trade how I want it to be. For your will be done. Your kingdom come. I come under the restraints of a bond slave. Where you go, I'll go. What you want to say is what I'll say. I want to see through the Father's face. I want to be overmastered by the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is a governmental mountain that gives me the perspective through the face of the Father. In Isaiah 11, it says of Jesus that in the fear of the Lord was his delight. The word actually means he smelt of the fear of God. Why was it his delight? Because it was the Spirit that gave him God consciousness and synchronization to see through the Father's face in every situation. So that he could manifest wisdom, he could manifest knowledge, he could manifest power. He's looking for a company that want to come under the government and tutorship and mentorship and discipleship of above. Paul said, if I was still pleasing man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Pleasing man and the government of God and moving with God are not the same thing. They're two different things. They're on two different frequencies, two different agendas. Ha. I only do what pleases him. I love the fact that the Lord could gather massive crowds and then sneak away. He could talk to one and spend 2 days on the one and then spend it on the masses. Dismiss the crowds. He's looking for people that synchronize with heaven, that move as heaven moves. And John 3, Jesus said, those who are born of the Spirit are born from unseen to seen. There's a predominant force from one reality into another. And it says, they are like the winds. They are like the winds. You see the effects, but you don't know. You don't know where they've come from, and you don't know where they're going. There's mystery involved in being a son to those around you, because you don't have to give an explanation for it. You just manifest it and produce wonder. He's looking for a company that produce wonder on the earth again, that do things that haven't been done, that say things, that release things from heaven, because we're coming into a deluge. A deluge of wisdom, a deluge of revelation, a deluge of understanding, a deluge of counsel and might. And where God is releasing technology, he's releasing wisdom, understanding, government, and all of creation is longing for this. All of creation's in synchronization, in groaning, and in travailing for the revelation of the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Whoa. Way. There's a government in heaven. And as goes the head, so goes the body. Why is the world in darkness? Why is the world in gross darkness? It's all because of government. Because government is out of alignment. And what he's looking for is a company that bring his government and manifest it on the earth to bring alignment. Because in his government is light. It's a kingdom of light. And heaven is full of light, because as goes the head, so goes the body. And when you look at heaven from the outside, it's full of light. It looks like a galaxy that's full of brightness in the middle and emanating out. And it's expanded. It's massive. And, you know, God might show you the outside of heaven. You can ask him to show you it. These are spheres, heavenly places, heavenly domains. Actually, there's some kind of intersection between the natural world and heaven, because sometimes when you're in heavenly realms, you can look down over the edge and you'll see stars underneath. So there is some kind of convergence point between heaven and earth. I don't know where that is actually, if it's a geographic place. But there's a geography to heaven. There's heavenly realms, heavenly places that we've been seated in and given access to because we're brand new creations. And I think we've spent most of our lives as Christians with the gospel of get saved. But salvation is just the birth. He's looking for maturity. He's looking for people that come through that and start to become mature sons like Jesus. When the dove came down, we always think of it as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But the dove coming down was something more, which is hidden in Scripture. He was looking for a dove company. And the dove is a mature son. A dove came down on Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved mature son." The word there is mature son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And there's a secret in Scripture where over and over again it talks about doves. It says, "Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs." If you look in the King James Version, it's got this extra word, the secret place of the stairs. The literal translation is in the secret place of the ascent. He is looking for people that know how to be in him, in his presence, and then go into the Spirit. Whoa. See, when I started to drink the wine, I didn't know that it was the beginning of going into heaven. I didn't actually know that. It's like the Lord has set an offensive door. Sometimes he bypasses that and takes me. But what I found was is that as I was intoxicated and honored his presence and allowed it to rest upon me, I began to just go. If I am standing outside of myself, Paul said, it's because of God. Other translations say, if I'm outside of myself in ecstasy, it's all God's fault. See, one type of water attracts another, Teresa of Avila said. Wine attracts the cloud. Tears attract heaven. Tears attract heaven. Way. One type of water draws another. He's looking for maturity. He's looking for a bride that will come up to the measure of the stature of Christ. They want to yield to the rhythm of this grace and let it take us where it wants to go. His will be done. Your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? Your kingdom come. So heaven's in perfect order because there's perfect government. And to the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So when you look at the planet, Do you guys move in the spirit and look at the planet? Do you guys move above nations and look at nations? That's not a rhetorical question. Are you engaging with kainos realities, that you've been united in his spirit and wherever he is, you've got the capacity to be? What activates it is desire and focus. Following his heart, thankfulness, yielding to the spirit and moving to and fro, up and down and to and fro. Because you're not even human. One translation of 2 Corinthians 5 says, you're not a new, just a new creation, kainos. The old has gone, the new has come. You are a brand new world. You are of the spirit. I don't think anybody, I think the question that Nicodemus couldn't understand, the church still can't understand. That we're born from unseen. We're born from unseen. We're born from another realm. We're born of the Spirit. Because you're still living like a human. We're still living like humans. When we're not human, we're not human. That's why Paul said when they were arguing, why are you still acting like humans? You've gone back to default. You've gone back to human, being human. When you're kainos, you're born of the Spirit, born from above, born from another realm. Huh. So you're a citizen of somewhere. You're seated somewhere. You're from somewhere. But do you want to explore what you've received? Or do you want it to be head knowledge? Because there are three types of people. There are people that haven't got a clue what's going on. That's category one. Category two is people that have got an idea what's going on, but are observers. So they could talk, yeah, God's releasing this realm. God's doing that. God's doing that. But are you a part of it? Are you moving with it? Are you yielding to it? This is an invitation. It's a door. It's an invitation. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you waiting until you understand it to embrace it? Are you going to limit God to your human brain size? Or are you going to jump into that reality, into the unknown? Are you going to fear not, O little flock, for it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Are you going to jump in to the fullness of all that he is and all that he does? Are you going to learn what he's doing and see it? Do you want to stand and hear the voice that now speaks in heaven? The reason I'm speaking this is this is the era that we're in, because God wants to landscape the earth with heaven. He wants to landscape it so much that animals stop killing each other. People live until hundreds of years. If you die at 100, you're a kid. He wants to landscape it so much that says there won't even be war on it. He wants to landscape it so much that Jerusalem will come and sit on the earth. He wants to landscape it so much that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory and the goodness of God. So what are we going to do about it? Because if we're new creations, are we happy staying immature? Are we happy staying as immature sons? Or do we want to be the dove company, those that are like Jesus? And he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. I dwell in him. I move in him. I move through him. I move around him. Because you're powerful enough to refuse heaven. You're powerful enough to say no. You're powerful enough to decide that your mindset is bigger than God's ability. Because you are basing your faith on past experiences. You have allowed your past experiences to create a framework for which faith operates in. When faith is transcendent, faith is the currency of heaven. Abraham had never had a baby. He didn't know what it was like to have a baby. That couple did not know. But by faith, they believed God, and faith forces heaven to move. Faith, not need, is the currency of heaven. If need was the currency, God would have solved world poverty. God would have done this. God would have done that. But faith is what pleases God. Faith makes a demand on his goodness and causes the unseen to become seen Faith is substance, evidence of things unseen. Wow. So God's got a massive plan involving creation. And all of creation's groaning and contracting for you. 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 I've had times when nature's responded to me, where weather patterns have changed. I've had times where animals have responded to me. There's been moments where it's happened, but I know it's foretastes. It's just glimpses of what's arising. This coming, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It rises and works through the whole loaf. But I'm not content anymore. And this is why I say I'm travailing, is because I am not content not knowing the secret things of the Father. I am not content to wait until everyone else has got it. I'm not a wait for everyone else Christian. I never have been. I wait for permission to go. I've seen that there's permission. I'm not one that's got faith in deception. I think my Father can handle my mistakes. I don't think he's insecure. Whoa. So, his government, what's it going to look like? Well, I think that part of it is this, is that our agenda has to go. That's why I talked about wine. If all he wants you to do is drink and enjoy his presence, and that's the season you're in, do that. He knows how to take you into other seasons. This isn't a force thing. This isn't a works thing. This isn't a self-effort thing. But the wine will attract another type of glory. I remember when trances started to come, I thought I was feeling ill. I thought I had a disease. I actually said to my wife, have I got a disease? I remember, you know, being out once with the kids. I think we were shopping, and suddenly the presence was so strong. I was like, all I want to do is lie down. I just lie down for 2 hours with the kids buzzing around. You can't even do the dishes or anything. And you know how strong that impulse is in parents, don't you? I mean, I would do dishes in my sleep if I could. I've been so well trained. And you have to yield that you're not going to be guilty because it's up to the Lord. I used to do property development, and these visitations were starting to come. And Rachel and I went to look at some houses, and I couldn't work out anything about the houses. I remember standing in one house absolutely confused. We'd been upstairs. I can't even remember how many rooms were up there. How much would this house cost? I don't know. How much is this worth? I don't know. And we had to accept that actually my property development days had come to an end at that time. So I started to pray, and I'd go like, we'd agreed we'd started using savings, and my job was to pray. I gave up work to pray, and God funded us to pray. So Rachel and I had this agreement. It was like, hey, you go out and you go and pray from 9 to 5 as if you've got an office job. Someone said to me, oh, you won't be able to do that for long. Whoa. Everyone will try and put you off. Someone said to me, oh, I tried being like Enoch and going with God, but I've got a family and kids, and I realized I can't. It's not for me. And he gave me a pat on the back. He didn't even know who I was when I asked him about Enoch. He was a Hebraic guy. He knew a lot about Jewish culture. Gave me a pat. Winked. It was like, I've given you great advice today. Don't try and be like Enoch because you've got kids. He walked away. I shook my head. I thought, you know nothing. Do you know that you can be in the presence for 5 minutes but 6 months in heaven? That's happened to people. I've sometimes had trances and encounters where I've learned stuff that you could write a whole book off, just an hour. And it takes you months to find all the scriptures for it. I had one experience on an aeroplane where I was taken into heaven, and it took me a year to unpack it. A whole year. Whoa. So, God started interfering with the 9-to-5 because I found that he doesn't work on a 9-to-5. I remember the first time I came back home and I couldn't come out of the spirit. We had guests for tea and I remember sitting at the table. I remember thinking, I can't understand what they're talking about. I looked at my food and thought, this seems like a lot of effort eating this food. I can understand where Jesus said, I have food you know not of. Sustained by the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, transcending these needs. But you know, God hijacked our family and hijacked my wife. But I had a long season where I had to accept it wasn't the way I wanted it to be. And eventually I accepted that. I think there's a little battle that goes on when God starts to invade your space. Do you want God on your terms? Do you want him the way that you expect? Do you want him to do it the way he did it before? And after this little battle, I'd have times where I was like, God, I can't think straight. I remember going to the garage and not remembering what car was mine outside. And I couldn't remember my phone number and where I lived. And inside I'm going, God, why? Why? But I walked home laughing, full of joy. So glad that he did that. So I would trade my dignity a million times for God's presence because I have known the agony of longing. I have cried bitter tears for God's presence. I'm in that season now. I'm in a season of crying for him. And no one can talk me out of that because it burns inside me. No one could tell me just be whacked in a season where I'm burning, contracting, travailing. But no one can tell me to travail when I was overwhelmed by the fatness of his house and couldn't move. When we first started getting whacked, people weren't getting whacked. None of the people around me in Wales, not even my wife, knew what the whack was, why we were whacked, why we were laughing, why we couldn't move. I didn't know. And now we're coming into another era where people are parking at the wine and saying, that's all there is now. Let's all just get whacked now. Let's just live in the wine cellar now. And I don't blame them. And neither does Daddy. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're free, free from condemnation. But I tell you what, the wine does lead you somewhere. God knew what he was doing when he poured out his spirit in Toronto. Did he know what he was doing when he poured out that wine? And people judged it because they wanted instantaneous fruit, instantaneous oaks of righteousness. When God was just watering the soil. But this is going somewhere. So I went from the prophetic to the wine, and for about 3 years, I couldn't quite come out of it, the wine. Couldn't quite think straight. I never knew when it would hit me. It could be when I was just making breakfast. I remember many times opening the fridge or the microwave and... carrying that presence, and I'd walk around the place and people could feel it. It still happens to me sometimes. It's a tangible substance that rests. God wants to be like snow resting on trees. He wants to rest in place. If I go back into a season of resting where I'm not getting any revelation, I would be thrilled because I'm not a revelation machine. You know when you're whacked on the presence of God and you don't feel like moving? What it's like for the Lord is like two old people that have been friends all their lives sitting on a park bench. This is true. When you're basking in his presence and you don't even feel like talking, that's two old friends sitting together that don't feel any pressure to say anything. They're absolutely loving sitting on that park bench. And I love those moments. I'm not seeking him for revelation anymore. I'm not. I found something that transcends that. It's great when God takes me into heaven. Right now, I'm being supported by heaven. I'm being taught in the Spirit. This has been going on for about 3 years where I have experiences and I'm taught in the Spirit. And I've got to know people in heaven, like Enoch and others in heaven. And they show me that they're landscaping the earth, that they're going to fulfill what Isaiah said, that they will rebuild ruined cities. That there will be oaks of righteousness, a display of his splendor. But I tell you what, even above this, even above the mystic secrets of God and understanding the government and structures of God. So God's been teaching me about government. I was in a restaurant last week and I walked in the restaurant and I could see the restaurant structure of government because it's like a mountain. And I said, this mountain's all out of alignment. I said, this restaurant's got a really bad manager. I sat down at the table. I said, this is all out of alignment. I said to the friends I was with. So the woman came up to that was serving us, and I said, how are you doing? How's things? She said, oh, I was only supposed to work till, a certain amount of time, but I'm working 12 hours today. 12 hours on your feet with 1 hour break in this Mexican restaurant. And she then said this, and the manager's on his butt in the office, not even helping. And I'd already seen that. You can see it, government on restaurants, on Costas. If the government's right on a restaurant, the waiters and that will be enjoying themselves. They will connect with you as a human being. They will not be afraid when they spill things on the floor because they know there's a covering. They'll have a manager that loves them and nurtures them. And you start to understand that's light. Whoa. These are the things he wants to teach us. How does a nation run? How do we disciple nations? There's amazing things that he wants to teach us. He wants to show us the future, the good works that he's prepared in advance to do, the books of the future. So we can pull the age to come into the present and map the present with the future. The future, in essence, is bleeding back. And whenever we see miracles and stuff, it's a little bit of future moving back. So he wants to teach us about moving through time, moving through space, moving above the earth. How do you move above the earth? How do you hold a nation in your heart? How do you encompass a family? How do you sit on the mountain of your home? How do you overshadow it? How do you walk with angels? How do you understand the assignment that the angels around you have been given so you can cooperate with the angels? How can you support angels and they support you? How can you engage with the cloud of witnesses? What are their function? What do they do? What are the seven spirits of God? How can we come over under the canopy of the seven spirits, be mentored in them so that we flow like a continual river rather than in gifting? How do we blur the boundaries and step into the unseen so we disappear? And as much as I enjoy those dimensions of God, there is something greater than that, which is God. And as enjoyable as that, and to the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And it's so massive, no one's even understood it. There's some things we're not even able to comprehend. For example, one thing that the Lord showed me is that humanity will always keep growing, expanding. We, as human beings, you, whether you die or not, are going to continue to grow and evolve, if you like, from glory to glory to glory forever. And you have not got a limit to how much you're going to grow. What you are going to look like in the future is incredible. The Lord showed me the distant future. In glimpses, shimmers of it, concealed. But you see for a second something and it creates wonder and awe. I was outside of myself preaching last time I was in Horsham. And you guys didn't know, but when I was preaching here, I was there. I wasn't even conscious fully of what I was saying. And I was being shown the wonder of the human spirit. I'd never even thought about the human spirit. I mean, what he's put in us, who we are, made in his image. And he showed me humanity, and I saw the distant future, and we were like nothing else in the cosmos. Well, I can't even describe. It was like, but I was so in ecstasy at the wonder of it, and I was thinking, God, I'd love a verse for that. And he gave me one. It's in 1 John 3 where it says, but now we are sons of God, but what we will be, we don't know. Now everybody thinks they're on the cutting edge when they start talking about sonship and sons of God. I love it when the Lord pulls the wall back and you realize there's another room. There's another room, but now we are sons of God, but what we will be, we don't know. You're going to be something that's be. And no man can teach me this. How many of you want to be taught by him? Taught from above. It says the anointing will teach you. My messages that I'm preaching aren't regurgitated messages. This is the amazing thing. I started by honoring the wine, honoring his presence. He made me look so foolish. Some of the times, if you would have seen the state I've been in the high street and everything, in Starbucks. But you know, when you are hungry for God, when you are desperate for God, you treasure his presence. And you found that man can't give you anything. They can't satisfy you. Church preaching ain't going to satisfy you. Nothing can satisfy you. Not like him. Not like him. And when his presence came, it was like, I'd rather have that and lose everything. And nothing will change that for me. Because he stole my heart in the pursuit. I thought I was pursuing him, but he was stealing my heart. But I stopped resisting it because your soul, your heart wants to follow hard after God. But you got the brakes on because we're afraid of what that will mean to let go, to let the brakes off, to let the passion emerge, the desperation, the longing for more of him. Wow. Whoa. And I would yield to that presence even when I didn't understand it. And do you know he didn't explain it to me for 3 years? I went through 3 years of being really whacked without God explaining it. He doesn't owe us an explanation. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything now. I wouldn't trade it for a single thing. And what I found was that what I was learning to do was be in the Spirit. Because we know how to pray. We know how to do things. But do we know how to be in the Spirit? Does this generation know what it means to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? And he is wanting to entice us with the wine, the sweetness of his love, and take us into his realm, his world, to be taught, to come under the tutors and governors and learn. And I yielded to his presence and I yield to his love. And then trances for me, when they would start to come, it was through honor. You will receive from what you honor. Life flows through honor. I wanted trances. I wanted to be out of myself. I wanted to leave my body. I wanted to see heaven. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's time to stir up desire. Before religion came, I believed as a kid. I remember as being a little kid in church, meeting in a little gymnasium in the charismatic move. And I remember thinking, I can see Jesus before I die. I can go to heaven. It was cultivated in me. Faith in a little child. Whoa. And then sometimes when trances don't happen a lot to me, but when they come, sometimes it feels like I'm in his presence, but I suddenly feel like my face sometimes goes a bit white. And I don't feel too comfortable. And sometimes I backed away from God. I was praying with a friend, and we had someone from the cloud of witnesses come and step in the room, and it scared us so much, we immediately came out of the spirit. I've had times where the black cloud of God's presence has been creeping in when I've had friends over for dinner, and I've known what it feels like when that comes, and I have freaked and it's gone. I've had an angel, when I've been on the phone at night to a friend in America, I had an angel appear in my living room, the outline, the presence of the fear of the Lord filled it. I knew it was the spirit of the fear of the Lord, an angel carrying that, but I carried on talking on the phone rather than face the embarrassment of saying an angel's just shown up. And you know, within 10 minutes, it totally gone. And by the end of the conversation, I put the phone down. And then I remembered the angel. And I thought, how could I do that? But there's grace. What I'm finding is this: if we embrace God, it means we're going to embrace the cost of saying to your friend, as stupid as you sound, I am sorry, I've got to go now. An angel's just come. Bye bye. We've got to be willing to embrace the feeling of him coming on you and you feel like you're going to be ill. My face sometimes goes white. I remember coming upstairs from the basement and my wife said, you look really strange. But I think it's God. You should go back downstairs. I went back downstairs and yielded. The black cloud of his presence that you feel like, oh, can I handle this? See, there's parts of God he's wanting to show some of you. There's parts of him that he can't show to church because they want a palatable little touch in worship. They want a little dabble, do you, to keep them going for the rest of the week. A little top-up of engine oil. But he's looking to show people the secret things of his heart. He's looking to show himself in ways that no one else has seen. Maybe he wants to show you a part of himself that no one else has ever seen. Do you think that we've taught everything there is to know about God? Do you think that this contains, it says even if they wrote everything about him, the whole world would be full of books. So God had to say, okay, one book will do. He wants to show you things that no eye has seen. He wants to show you his heart. He wants to show you when he's moved, when he's crying, when he's laughing. He's a person. He wants you to come under the canopy of his emotions. And look, if nothing's happening for you, my advice is pursue him. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He is a rewarder, I promise you. If you're not in a season where his glory's overshadowing you, if you're in a season like me of longing, give in to the longing. Just lock yourself down in one of your rooms for an hour. Just close the toilet door when you're in there for an extra half an hour or something. It says the Father will see you in secret and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then when that reward becomes, you know, when you've been in a drought, the first drops of rain are ecstasy. Don't let no man steal your joy. Whatever he looks like, I want it. I don't know what it'll look like in this season for me. I know for me, I am in major pain in this season. But I present that. I present the pain. I present the contractions. I present the burning. I was praying the other day, you know, and this is a private thing. So we'll have to edit this next bit. But I was my wife was out and I was praying. I closed the curtains. Find out ways that will get you connected. I closed the curtains and put a fragrant candle on. And soaking music. And I kind of walk up back and forth until I feel like I don't want to walk anymore. Because God's there. But I'm not afraid of contending for him. And I was praying. And I tell you what, I had the worst time of prayer I've had because the pain that I felt. And I started praying for. And it was agony. I was on all fours crying, but it hurt. I felt pain all here. Real pain, burning pain. Whoa. Okay. Because even in all that we've seen, and I've seen outbreaks on the streets where the glory's fallen on teenagers. I've seen gold dust outbreaks in restaurants. We've seen creative miracles, cataracts, people that can't see color, and God restores the color. It's not enough. And that's the tension that we live in. That's the ground that we've got to hold. We've got to hold the tension between the wine and enjoying it. And then realizing there's people whose limbs haven't grown out yet. My dad and my brother, they need Jesus. I've noticed every time God's birthed a new thing through me, it's come through pain. But there's great joy when the baby's born. I'm not backing away from the pain. And if that changes, I'll be the first one to thank him. I'll end with this scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forwards, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be a part of it. And it doesn't matter where you are. You can be a baby, an amateur. But I'd rather be an amateur in this than an expert in everything we know. I'd rather take one baby step into the Spirit by faith, where I defy my history. I defy who I've been. Because my future is not like my past. And do you know what? The moment that you take that step, you force change to happen. Because faith is the currency of heaven. The moment that you say, I am fully qualified because of what Jesus has done to have access and boldness to come before your throne, heaven hears and heaven responds. Wow. Whoa. Wow. He's calling you. He's calling you. Forget the former things. New things do I declare to you. Forget what you've known. Church is going to change. Forced change is here. Forced change is here. Forced change. To the increase of his government, there will be no end. There's a door open. I was shown this in heaven. I was shown the books of the future. Isaiah's prophecies have to be fulfilled. the heroes of the faith were the ones that decided they could bypass time and live out of it in their day. God wants you to live out of the future. Love you, Jesus. Never let my heart grow cold, Lord. Never let me be distracted by the earth realm. Never let me trade eternal for temporal things. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. Lord, I will love your presence. I love your presence more than anything else. I love you. I want to be like those two old men sitting on a bench with nothing but enjoyment. I give you permission, Lord, to do what you want, how you want to do it. Bend me, shake me, any way you want me. As long as you love me, as long as you love me. I only want to learn about this stuff because I'm with him. This morning I taught on the cloud of witnesses. Don't do it without him. Don't live without him. In him we live and move and have our being. He is so passionate about you. He's burning for the world. He's burning for these islands. You've got a massive destiny. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made or where you've come from. You're here. He's chosen where you would live and when you would live. You'd be here for this day. Great day it is. Great day.
It's cool.